Dear brothers and sisters, good evening. On this solemnity of the Sacred Heart, I've been really moved to pray about and think about the relationship of Jesus' Sacred Heart to the Holy Spirit. And we see in the image of the Sacred Heart that Jesus' heart is a flame. A flame with what? You might say a flame with love. And you might say a flame with the Holy Spirit. And the answer to that is yes. Because the Holy Spirit is himself love in person. The letter to the Romans tells us the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And we read in the second reading today, which is a very important second reading to understanding the Holy Spirit, we know that we remain in him and he in us, that he has given us of his Spirit. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God and remains in him. And St. Augustine points out that John deliberately connects, right, parallels the statement God is love to the Holy Spirit. So God the Father is love, God the Son is love, but love is the personal name of the third person of the Trinity. Love is the Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the heart of Jesus from the instant of his conception, and as it burns ever brighter throughout his life, burning as a sacrifice, as a holocaust on the cross, and again, this is where John steps in, right? That Jesus' side is open, right? And we see his heart. That's where devotion to the Sacred Heart comes from, that his side is open. And three things Jesus gives from the cross before his side is open. He breathes the Spirit, and then water and blood flow out. And John tells us in the same letter, there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. That the Spirit and the water is baptism and the blood is the Eucharist. The Spirit and the water and the blood testify to us of the heart of Christ. And I think it's magnificent that the Spirit is given right as the heart of Christ is revealed. In fact, John's Gospel tells us, Jesus says, from out of his bowels, out of his chest, living waters will flow up. This he said of the Spirit. And the way it's translated in our English Bibles today, it looks like it's referring to us, to believers. But in the Gospel, it's a little bit more vague or more flexible, where it looks like it's actually referring that it's from Jesus' heart, that the flowing waters will come, the living waters will come from the Holy Spirit. And so I've often had a connection between the Holy Spirit and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I think that to understand them both, you need to understand each other. And I think it's important that we celebrate the Sacred Heart sometime after Pentecost, right? That there's a connection between Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit. All of that to say, because I just wanted you to not think that I was crazy by talking about the Holy Spirit today on the Feast of the Sacred Heart. What I want to really focus on when we look at the heart of Jesus are the list that St. Paul gives in the letter to the Galatians of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's very interesting. He parallels works of the flesh and fruits of the Spirit. People like St. Thomas Aquinas take that to mean that these are the things we enjoy in the Spirit, because the word fruit in English comes from the Latin word to enjoy. They didn't know chocolate yet. Okay, but there it is. The word fruit comes from the word to enjoy. But I think it's more than that. Every other time the word fruit is used in the New Testament, it's an effect, a work, a proof, right? Jesus says, by your fruits, by their fruits you will know them. And so the one who is deeply in the Spirit should give evidence of the nine fruits of the Spirit. And that is nowhere more true than in Jesus Christ himself. And I know you know the whole list of the fruits of the Spirit by heart already, but I'm going to go ahead and repeat them just in case you're having a brain fart. I say that a little sarcastically because I never remember the whole list, but I'm going to try tonight. Okay. And that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I think that's right. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All right, there we go. That's the nine. And we see this throughout Jesus' life, right? And those who know the heart of Jesus know his love. They know his peace. They certainly know his self-control, his chastity, his purity, his gentleness. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, he tells us in the gospel. One thing I think we don't think about a lot, and we should think about more, and I'm trying to think about more, is that Jesus, this is going to be a shocking statement to some of you, Jesus is happy. Jesus, risen from the dead, enthroned at his Father's right hand, is full of happiness. He's full of joy. Joy is the second fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we hear in the gospel today, Jesus exclaimed, and the parallel in Luke says, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is happy. Jesus is full of joy. And I think so often we think about the cross of Christ, and that's very important to think about the cross of Christ. But I think so often we think about the cross of Christ that we only see Jesus suffering, we only see Jesus sorrowful, we only see Jesus sad. We need to remember that currently Jesus is happy. He's happy to be with us. He's happy to be in heaven with the saints. He's happy to be with the Father and the Spirit. He's happy to save us and to have saved us. He's happy to give us the sacraments. He's full of joy. He's full of joy. And those who are filled with the Spirit are also full of joy. It's not a joy that the world can give. But again, in the Gospel of John, Jesus prays that his joy might be in us. His joy can't be in us unless he has it first. He has to be joyful first. Okay, all these things. We could sit here for a long time and just think about those nine fruits. I did that in the chapel this morning. I tried to, kind of exhausted, so my brain was all over the place and the ghost was biting me. But anyway, I tried to think of the nine fruits of the Spirit as a portrait of the heart of Jesus. This is who Jesus was and who Jesus is. And then I thought about how we were praying for our country. And St. Paul lists these things as discernments, right? Here are the works of the flesh, which prove that you walk in the flesh. Here are the fruits of the Spirit, which prove that you live by the Spirit. And I know our country is blessed in many ways. But let's run down that list again. And you tell me if this is a portrait of America as much as it's a portrait of Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Are these the things we see in our country today? Are these the portrait of what it means to be American today? To our shame, I don't think so. I don't think we see ourselves that way, and I know the world doesn't see us that way. And so when we consecrate our nation for the sake of its 250th birthday to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we also have to remember that we have to pray for a change in our nation. There are a lot of fruits of America that people are proud of because they're American, but they don't square up too much with that portrait of the fruits of the Spirit. Americans are aggressive, independent. We think for ourselves. We're practical. We're pragmatic. We're powerful. I don't see those on the list of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I wonder if, you know, every generation says, oh, we've lost our values. Well, I wonder if our values were ever God's values even to begin with. And I wonder if we know what it means to sincerely consecrate a nation to the Sacred Heart. Because you can't say we want to belong in His heart and then go on living the way that we've been living. It doesn't fit. It's a square peg in a round hole. Dear brothers and sisters, another aspect of this feast today, aside from the love of Jesus, is the tradition of making reparation to the heart of Jesus, of apologizing, of offering some act of loving obedience to make up for the insults we've offered to Him. It is also the case that today those who share in making an act of reparation to the heart of Jesus can obtain a plenary indulgence. And so I thought I'd like to end the homily with it's very long, but that's what a reparation is. I'd like to end the homily with this reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I don't know if you have it with you, because, you know, I don't prepare for things and it's not printed out, but if you would just pray it along in your heart as I say it out loud. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most sweet Jesus, whose overflowing charity for men is requited by so much forgetfulness, negligence, and contempt, behold us prostrate before you, eager to repair by a special act of homage the cruel indifference and injuries to which your loving heart is everywhere subject. Mindful, alas, that we ourselves have had a share in such great indignities, which we now deplore from the depths of our hearts, we humbly ask your pardon and declare our readiness to atone by voluntary expiation, not only for our own personal offenses, but also for the sins of those who, straying far from the path of salvation, refuse in their obstinate infidelity to follow you, their shepherd and leader, or, renouncing the promises of their baptism, have cast off the sweet yoke of your law. We are now resolved to expiate each and every deplorable outrage committed against you. We are now determined to make amends for the manifold offenses against Christian modesty and unbecoming dress and behavior, for all the foul seductions laid to ensnare the feet of the innocent, for the frequent violations of Sundays and holy days, and the shocking blasphemies uttered against you and your saints. We wish also to make amends for the insults to which your vicar on earth and your priests are subjected, for the profanation by conscious neglect or terrible acts of sacrilege of the very sacrament of your divine love, and lastly, for the public crimes of nations who resist the rights and teaching authority of the Church which you have founded. Would that we were able to wash away such abominations with our blood. We now offer in reparation for these violations of your divine honor the satisfaction you once made to the Eternal Father on the cross, and which you continue to renew daily on our altars. We offer it in union with the acts of atonement of your Virgin Mother and all the saints and of the pious faithful on earth. And we sincerely promise to make recompense as far as we can with the help of your grace for all neglect of your great love and for the sins we and others have committed in the past. Henceforth, we will live a life of unswerving faith, of purity of conduct, of perfect observance of the precepts of the gospel, and especially that of charity. We promise to the best of our power to prevent others from offending you and to bring as many as possible to follow you. O loving Jesus, through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mother, our model in reparation, deign to receive the voluntary offering we make of this act of expiation, And by the crowning gift of perseverance, keep us faithful until death in our duty and the allegiance we owe you, so that we may all one day come to that happy home where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.